So our students in this weekend have had three sessions. This is session number four. Session number four got assigned to the senior pastors at the three different churches that are cooperating together. At least I assume the other guys got the responsibility. At least at our church, senior pastor got assigned this responsibility. So session four, here we are. We are stepping out of the book of James for a week to do session four, and we're in Matthew chapter 7. So if you want to go ahead and find that on your Bible app or go ahead and find it in your actual physical paper Bible, we're in Matthew chapter 7 for session 4, and we're talking about building foundations, which I will be honest, I understand more about building foundations today than I did a year ago. You have a basic concept. I mean, Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 7 are going to seem so simple and so easy to understand that, yeah, it makes sense. If you're going to build a structure, you need a strong foundation. As a kid, you learn to do that. If you're building a sandcastle, you build a good, strong base because, you know, the rest of it will topple. If you don't, you have that basic concept. But the real significance of that, the importance of that, tends to escape us in everyday life, especially everyday spirituality. And the second thing I've realized is not only does it seem simple, even though it's absolutely essential, but the other aspect of it is foundations are just boring. I mean, when we started our building program, when we started building the new church and things began to happen, I was so excited. I mean, I was pumped up. Things were going good. Congregation's excited about it. I'm excited about it. And I'm just really looking forward to it. And so the first bulldozer shows up and comes off the back of a flatbed and is out there. And our social media director is telling me, okay, I need a video about what's going on. And so I'm out there and I'm filming and I'm going, hey guys, this is so exciting. The first bulldozer's here. The next week, she says, okay, we need another video. So I'm back out there again. I'm saying, guess what, guys? The bulldozer's here. Week three. I cannot believe how excited I am. The bulldozer arrived. Week number four. They're actually moving dirt. Week number six. They're still moving dirt. Week number 15. They're still moving. Week number 20. They're still moving. In fact, for months, all we did was move dirt back and forth. Of course, we had to dig out these huge detention areas. I mean, one of our detention ponds, it's all dry detention. It'll all drain out, but we have to hold our water for a little while before we send it downstream. And so we had to build these huge areas. One of them was so big, we're going to put two soccer fields inside the detention area. So other than massive rainstorms, you can play soccer anytime you want out there in the detention pond. And it already has banks on it, so you're not going to lose the ball. You don't have to go chasing after it. Just bounce back and kind of ricochet. But for months, it felt like all we did was move dirt. I had no idea that building foundations is so absolutely boring. It was just like, aren't we going to do anything? And they kept telling me over and over again, they'd say, hey, you know, once we start, it'll go quick and it'll be exciting. And they were right. Let me just go ahead and say they were right. But I didn't have the experience. Beyond sandcastles at the beach, maybe a few mud castles in my backyard, I had never built anything, and definitely not built anything from the ground up. And so I didn't know that it took that long. The other thing I didn't understand was how absolutely essential foundations are. And this is critical because Jesus is going to tell us, and this passage from Matthew 7 is going to actually say to us, look, you have to build the foundation. And if you don't build the foundation, there are dire consequences. And of course, he is saying that as an illustration and saying, the foundation is my words. You listen to what I'm saying. And of course, that is directly applicable to us today as the Word of God, not just Jesus' words in red in our New Testaments, but the entire counsel of all of the Word of God. This is the foundation we build on, and that's what Jesus is saying. And if you do that, when your life's under strain, you'll have success. There's reliability, there's faithfulness, it's going to work. You have to build that foundation. But I didn't understand that, even in the physical realm, how absolutely critical that is. So we're out at the site one day. We meet every other week with the contractors and architects and engineers and everybody just to get updates on what's going on. And at that point, we had just finished building the really large detention area that's in the back area where the soccer fields are going to go. And we walked out there to just take a look at it. And I'm just kind of moping along, just, okay, here we are again, looking at dirt. I mean, and I'm thinking about it because social media director had texted me that morning and said, hey, we need another video. And I'm like, what am I going to say? How many times over 7 months can you say they're moving dirt and make it sound exciting? I walked up to the edge. It's about 15 feet, 17 feet deep at its deepest section. And I looked down and it's got about a foot of water. I mean, it's beautiful water, crystal clear. I'm like, this is really, really nice. I mean, if you were there and this was summertime, I'm thinking, man, go down there, lay down in that, let's splash. I'm looking at these other engineers thinking nobody's going to do that but me, but this looks really nice. I had visions of a multi-million dollar church built upon spring water in Tombaugh. My buddy's ranch is next to Chuck Norris's ranch up in Navasota, in the Navasota area. I drive by it all the time. I see Chuck's ranch. Chuck found a glacier underneath his ranch. And they now bottle that glacier water. He named it after his wife, which I thought was sweet, Gina. G-Force water. So when you buy that, you're supporting the Norris family. Probably doesn't need it, but nonetheless, you're supporting. I mean, I'm thinking, how do we name this? I mean, Ozarka, Jasper, you're going out of business. First Baptist Church has the new spring. I am so excited. I am so pumped because it's so crystal clear. Absolutely. But everybody else is not pumped. I got civil engineers over here and they're going, I'm thinking, what is going on with these people? I turn over to a building team member. And they're going, that's what the engineers, they talk in languages I don't understand all the time. Everybody, the contractors, he's go over there, he's got his hands deep in his pocket, he's going, and he's not even really speaking, he's just like making guttural sounds. Like, what is wrong with everybody? This is so cool. We dug a soccer field and we hit water. Finally, the civil engineer, who's actually a really great guy, really love working with him, and he's become a good friend over the last couple of years, he pulls me aside and he says, Pastor, this is actually really bad. Like, what's bad? It's pure water. I mean, this is Southeast Texas. Find any lake you want, and you can't see 2 inches deep. It's so muddy and filled with clay and junk. I mean, you know, you grow up in the Rocky Mountains. I got to be honest, Texas doesn't have great water in their lakes and ponds, and you're used to seeing that stuff. And so, I mean, it's just like, he says, no, you don't understand. The water's not supposed to be there. I said, what do you mean it's not supposed to be there? He said, we hit it at 5 feet. As we were digging the detention area, we hit water at 5 feet. And I said, all right, so what? We don't have to dig as deep a well to start bottling spring water. He's like, no. We knew the water table. The water table's at 27 feet. We shouldn't have hit water till we were at 27 feet. I'm still not getting it. He finally physically turns me around, makes me look over towards the foundation, which at that point we still didn't have concrete. We're just moving dirt. But the pad's in place, the clay and the special soil and everything that goes underneath, everything's in place. And he says, if the water's at 5 feet here, and if it's at 5 feet there, the foundation is in jeopardy. Like, what do you mean in jeopardy? He says, if we pour concrete and there's water 5 feet down, the foundation will float. It will shift. I'm beginning to get a picture here that this isn't what we want to have happen. I mean, it could still be cool, the floating church. I mean, but it creates all kinds of other issues. That phrase stuck with me for weeks because we halted what was taking place and did a number of geological surveys and borings all around where the foundation was supposed to be poured, all around where the pad had been built, over and over again to verify that the water table is really 27 feet not 5 feet. And they finally came to the conclusion, all the engineers, all the soil samples, all the geologists, everybody finally came back and said, it's just rainwater. It hit clay at 5.5 feet and the rainwater stayed and it just cycled out and it came out at the path of least resistance, and that's what it's supposed to do. See, half of you are engineers, you already know all that, but I didn't know any of that. I said, so the foundation's okay? The foundation's okay. We can pour. Because what I knew in my head but didn't understand in my heart is if the foundation's okay, nothing else is okay. Nothing. The wiring's not okay. The walls aren't okay. The structure's not okay. The roof's not okay. The air conditioning, nothing. If the foundation fails, nothing else survives. And here we are 2,000 years ago, and Jesus is talking to the people who are following him and listening to him, and he reminds them of that principle, absorbing all of the engineering and all the geography of it and geology, all the things. He's put all of that, wrapped it into one simple statement to remind us, if the foundation is insufficient, whatever the structure is, will not survive. It, by definition, will be insufficient. And that is, apparently, I now understand, catastrophic if you're building a church. Honestly, if you're building any kind of building, a house, a business, anything. But Jesus' words are so much more important, because Jesus was talking about not building a physical structure. He was talking about building our lives. And if the foundation is insufficient, we don't survive. And he uses dramatic terms. So look at that. In Matthew chapter 7, at different times I'm going to refer to Luke as well. So if I quote something or say something that doesn't seem like it's actually in your Bible, it's because it's over in Luke chapter 6. This parable of Jesus, this story that Jesus is teaching, is listed twice. Matthew recorded it, Luke recorded it, with just slight linguistic differences. But in Matthew chapter 7, 24, the one we're looking at, and our partner churches are looking at it as well, Tombaugh Bible, Redeemer, their whole church is in session 4, just like we are, looking at this together. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like the wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell and the rivers rose, and the winds blew and pounded that house. Yet it didn't collapse, because its foundation was on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the rivers rose, the winds blew and pounded that house, and it collapsed. It collapsed with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, because he was teaching them like one who had authority, not like their scribes. Jesus describes in this passage of Scripture a catastrophic fail. And it all relates back as to what you did in advance, what you did in preparation, what you did to establish the foundation. And the call of this passage is to establish the foundation of our lives, to establish the foundation of our hearts on Jesus' words, on the Word of God, which is inspired by the Holy Spirit, on that which we know to be true. Even though oftentimes it contradicts what culture says, it contradicts what scholars say, it contradicts what we want it to say, it's designed to do that so that we build a structure, we build a life that is intended to last and endure, not just for this life, but for all eternity. And so Jesus cautions us and challenges us to, during the developmental process, to make sure that we're developing on the right ground, to make sure that we're developing in the right ways. Look at verse 24. Everyone who listens, everyone who hears, Luke says, everyone who comes to me, these words of mine and acts on them, they are like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Luke quotes an additional saying, who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. Our faith, our spirituality is under development. And because of that development, we need to invest ourselves, and we need to invest our energy, and we need to invest our resources, and we need to invest our time into building a foundation on rock. And we know the basic tenets of this. It's not difficult. It's not hard. It's not complex. Implement into our lives the things that will last. Jesus says it's his words. So memorize his word. Pick out a scripture. Find one of these that you particularly like, one of these that makes a difference, and memorize it. Put it into our mind and ultimately into our hearts. Read our Bible on a regular basis so that we not only understand it, but we grasp it and we let it speak to us. It is God's word. It is, as the book of Hebrews describes it, living and active. And no matter how living and active it is under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, if we're not exposing ourselves to it, we're simply not getting it. Implement the word of God into our lives. Live in community, as Lydia described for us this morning. Learn to live in community, because living in community, particularly a community that has a shared biblical worldview, so that we have those things in common, we can encourage one another, we can strengthen one another, is a part of that foundation. Begin doing the disciplines and begin doing the things that are necessary for the foundation and doing them now. It's as simple as not just asking, what would Jesus do? It's as simple as understanding what Jesus would want us to do and implementing that. Build upon that foundation. Because to do otherwise is catastrophic. In verse 26, he says, everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't act on them will be like a foolish man. Let me just clarify something real quick, because of language differences and cultural differences. When the Bible talks about a foolish person, primarily in the book of Proverbs, but also in the Gospels, and in this particular case, Jesus is saying a foolish man, it's not indicating anything derogatory. From the Bible's perspective, from the culture in that period of time, as they were speaking to that audience, a foolish person was one who heard right things, who heard the truth, but fail to implement them. And so it's an unwise. It is counter to the description of the wise man in verse 24. It's a counter to that in verse 26. You have a wise man who hears these words and applies these words. You have a foolish man, an unwise man, who hears these words but fails to implement them. Because to fail to implement that which you know is right and that which you know will create the security and the foundation you need for life, it's just simply not wise. It doesn't make sense. And that's what Jesus is saying. And what about that man who's unwise? That man who is unwise built his house on the sand, on a ground that was without foundation. Why does that matter? Jesus tells us in the next verse. Because faith is under development and we're focusing on that. Disciple Now weekend is a weekend where you've had the opportunity to separate out from a lot of your regular activities to focus on faith, to focus on what's going on, your relationship with God. For some, maybe meeting him for the very first time, making that decision. Yes, I'm going to trust God in my life. I'm going to believe in Jesus. Maybe you already believed that coming into the weekend, but this is a weekend in which you've heard the teachings of Jesus and his statements, which are an upside-down kingdom, oftentimes contrary to what we hear in every other venue. And when you have the decision, you have a decision to make. Am I going to follow this, or am I going to follow what I'm hearing in other places? Which voice am I going to listen to? I want to listen to the voice of God, or I'm going to listen to the louder voices in culture and society. And we have to make those decisions. That's what this is about. It's about building the foundation. But the scary part is, those of us who are older have had this experience. You may or may not have had that experience yet, but the inevitable nature of it is that it's coming. Faith will come under strain. Look down at verse 25. Jesus continues to develop and unfold his illustration, and he says, the rain fell, the rivers rose. Luke includes the statement, when the flood came and the winds blew. impounded. Luke adds the statement, the river crashed against that house. Again in verse 27, the rain fell, the rivers rose, crashed against it. Winds blew and pounded that house. When faith comes under strain, when that structure is being tested at every joint, at every juncture, at every moment, what was built initially in the foundation will determine the strength for the rest of that structure. So this may seem like a fun weekend, and for others, you might even be a guest with us, and you're thinking, well, that's kind of cool. The teenagers had a good weekend. But the reality of Jesus' words are that this weekend makes a difference in the future because the storms will come. Here's the thing about storms. If you didn't prepare in advance, you can't. It's what you do ahead of the storm that makes the difference in the storm. I don't think I'm the only one that has this experience. At least I hope I'm not the only one that has this experience. But when I'm in crisis, when my life is in crisis, I am too conflicted. I am in too much chaos, and there are just too many things happening, and the complexity is overwhelming. And in that moment, I can't memorize a verse of Scripture. I might, if I happen to read it, or if I happen to see it, or I happen to hear it, if somebody happened to post one that's helpful to me, I might look at it. But the concentration it takes in that moment to deal with the crisis, to deal with the strain, is overwhelming enough that in that moment, I'm not memorizing Scripture. But what I had done in advance is there and ready for me. If I hadn't memorized it here, it's not available in that moment. In that moment, when it's coming, I mean, a simple hurricane, I'm not reading my Bible. My life is disciplined. I spend about 30 to 45 minutes every day reading my Bible. I go through the Bible plans, just like many of you do on YouVersion. I watch the Bible plans. I read the Bible plans. I'm reading one right now by Craig Rochelle, pastor of Life Church. Very encouraging, very strengthening. My daughter actually shared it with me, and I'm reading that right now, and I spend about 30 minutes every day reading the Bible. But when a hurricane's in the Gulf and it's on the horizon, I can tell myself, I really need to read my Bible right now. But I'm not. I'm glued to my news feed. I'm glued to my iPad. I'm glued to the television in my house. I'm waiting for the latest update from the latest person who might be able to give me a clue. How bad is this storm going to be? When you're in crisis, it's too late at that moment to say, I think, you know what? I'm in crisis. I'm going to have a devotion. Our mind's not there. Our heart's not there. Our energy's not there. In the middle of a crisis, there's a good possibility the community shuts down. There's the possibility you can't travel. You can't get to a friend. There is the possibility, we've all experienced this. We live in Southeast Texas. This happens on an annual basis for us. There's the possibility we lose all cell communication. We lose the ability to check on postings. We don't have any way to interact and connect. What was done in community before might sustain me as that community begins to recuperate from the crisis. But in the middle of the crisis, it's too late to say, I wish I'd gone to church last week. I really could use somebody praying for me. I really could use knowing that there's a friend. As I listen to the trees fall down in my yard, I really wish there was somebody I could call. I wish I knew somebody, but I didn't invest my time in community. I invested it in other places and doing other things. In the strain, it is too late to build the foundation. That's why, simple evidence of this. For the last 10 years since the invention of natural gas generators, every time we've had a major crisis in Southeast Texas, you see two things begin to develop. The first is, once the crisis is over with, everybody who said to themselves, $15,000 for a generator is ridiculous money, goes out and buys one. Literally, the freeze, I was at Ace Hardware in my neighborhood the day before the freeze. They were standing in line trying to buy generators. I'm walking past a guy, and he's talking to another guy, and that guy, he looks at that guy, and he's talking to that guy, and he says, look, this is the last one. I came out of the hardware store. I was there to just drop off packages because I wasn't getting anything. I'd already done that. Walking past the propane, there's a line of guys, like 10 deep, with 2 to 3 propane bottles apiece. They've been here before. They understand. They know if we lose power, we can't cook. And so they wanted to fill up their propane tanks. And the poor frustrated clerks out in the parking lot going, guys, I don't know that I have enough. We'll keep filling until we run out. In the crisis, if you don't hear anything else I say in session 4, in the crisis, it's too late to build the foundation. You have to do it in advance. So yeah, every time we have a crisis, whether it's a freeze or a hurricane, everybody in my neighborhood goes out and buys a generator. Everybody in my neighborhood knew they needed to trim their trees. But after the crisis and after they're down on the ground, it's like, oh, you know what? I should have listened to Dan Patrick, and I should have called Lewis, and I should have gotten my trees trimmed. We ignore the warnings. As devastating as that might be in a hurricane, as devastating as that might be in a freeze, as devastating as that might be in sheer winds, as devastating as that might be to us physically in Southeast Texas, if we do this with our spiritual lives, it's absolutely catastrophic. So we listen to what Jesus says, and we build the foundation, because we know the foundation's coming under strain. And the great promise of this passage through Scripture, the great promise in this moment that is essentially a little bit devastating, a little bit hard, and a little bit difficult, is in verse 25. Referencing the wise man who built a good solid foundation on rock, Jesus says, yet, remember that first part in verse 25, rivers rose, rain fell, floods came, winds blew, pounded and crashed the house. But in 25, the wise man, it didn't collapse. The storm couldn't shake it because its foundation was on the rock. It was well built. Faith is reliable. The Christian life is reliability at its best because it is rooted in the character and heart of God, who loves us and will not forsake us. So if you haven't made a decision to trust Jesus, this is the moment to do it. Don't wait till your parents are in conflict. Don't wait till a friend's in an accident. Don't wait till somebody bullies you. Don't wait for anything. Make that decision right now in this moment to say, yes, I will believe in Jesus. Yes, I want to build the foundation on Jesus. I want to listen to the words, I want to apply them, and I want to build on the rock, and Jesus is that rock. I'm going to believe, I'm going to trust, I'm going to put away with just hearing about Jesus, I'm going to make Jesus a real part of my life. Make that decision and absolutely share that decision with somebody. Talk to Pastor Casey after service. You're welcome to talk to me. Pastor Steve will be up here. Pastor Josh will be up here. Miss Christy probably walks in at some point. You can talk to any one of us. Some deacons will come up here. Talk to somebody. Talk to your host home. They're all here in the room. Talk to your counselors. They're here in the room. Any one of us. Make the decision to believe Jesus and share that decision with somebody else so you have someone to walk through that decision with. And if you already know Jesus, then make a decision right now. Today's the day to do the things that are required in the emergency. Today's the moment to build the foundation, not when it's under strain. Failure to do that today will result in catastrophic devastation. Then Jesus says that. In verse 27, the foolish man, the unwise man, built on sand, it collapsed. Luke emphasizes it and says immediately it collapsed. It collapsed with a great clash, Matthew says. The destruction of that house, Jesus says, was great. Failure to build the foundation is the surest way to guarantee devastation and disaster in the future. So we do it now. Pick a verse from this weekend, memorize it. Make a decision tomorrow to carve out even the smallest amount of time and read something from the Bible. Don't let this moment just be the only time you connect with your friends. Be back Wednesday night. Be back next Sunday. Be back for mission projects. Connect and build that community that will help you in the disaster. Because our faith is under development right now, and it's absolutely essential we develop it because it will come under strain. And the older we get and the longer we live, the more strain we'll experience. Build now so there is some hope of security in the future. Even in the ultimate future, God promises to hold us in His hand and never let go of us, even when we're in eternity. This is the most important decision we ever make. Don't wait till the crisis. Do it now so we're prepared for the crisis. Build the foundation on the rock. Pastor Josh, let's worship.